Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. We look ahead, as we always do, to the readings for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And we hear so much of the Good Shepherd, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd for us, that we're not alone. We're not running around, or we don't need to be, running around trying to find our way through the thicket, so to speak. We listen for the voice of the shepherd, and we stay close to the shepherd. And the shepherd leads us in the right way. He leads us to the streams of living water. He gives us food to eat. We want to be in a position where we're willing to allow God to shepherd us. First reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." Would you look at the courage of Peter? He's been transformed. Look back to how he was when Jesus was arrested, and look at him now, boldly preaching the gospel. How does that happen? Because he fully came to believe, and Jesus forgave him the sin of betraying him. Brothers and sisters, there is no sin that God will not forgive if we come to him sincerely repentant. There is no sin he will not forgive. And he calls us to go and do likewise, by the way. Think about this. Look at Peter's courage. It says, filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's true. And the Holy Spirit is in you by baptism and confirmation. Do you allow the Holy Spirit and his gifts to be primary in your life? That you might follow Jesus more closely, that you might glorify the Father by your life? Have you entered in a sense, to the Trinity? Do you live in that environment? It's true. It's real. But you're never forced. The choice is yours. Psalm 118, the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. And it's true. Cornerstone is the pivotal piece. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. Can you say that? I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. There's a beautiful hymn written some 15, 20 years ago, and it capitalizes on this whole passage right here, but especially, by the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. It's such an exultant hymn, and it depicts exactly what the psalmist is trying to say here. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and been my Savior. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever. Thank him. Thank him again and again and again, brothers and sisters. Thank him. Second reading from the first letter of St. John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Pray that section of the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Pray that over and over. Pray it out loud. Make it your own. And the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming. He leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay. He has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. This is Jesus speaking. He is the good shepherd, and he wants to care for us. He wants to give us food and drink. He wants to give us safe harbor. I'm mixing my metaphors now, but he wants us to find safety in the pasture that he chooses for us, not the pasture that we want. But he chooses the pasture that's the best for us. Do I live out of that reality that God knows where I am? He knows where I live. He knows how I live. He knows why I live. He knows everything. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus has laid down his life for you. Do you grasp that? Pope John Paul wrote this: Jesus is the good shepherd because of the fact that he gives his life to the Father in this way. Giving it back in sacrifice, he lays it down for the sheep. Here we enter the field of a splendid and fascinating simile already so dear to the Old Testament prophets. Here are the words of Ezekiel: For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down. Taking up this image again, Jesus revealed an aspect of the Good Shepherd's love that the Old Testament had not yet divined, to lay down one's life for the sheep. As is known, Jesus often used parables in his teaching to make the divine truth which he proclaimed comprehensible to people who were generally simple and accustomed to think by means of images. The image of the pastor and of the fold was familiar to the experience of his listeners, as it still is in the midst of modern man. Even if civilization and technique are progressing by leaps and bounds, this image, however, is still present in our state of affairs. The shepherds take the sheep to the pastures, as for example, on the Polish mountains where I come from, and they remain there with them during the summer. They accompany them from one pasture to another. They watch them so that they do not go astray, and in particular, they defend them from wild animals. The good shepherd, according to Christ's words, is just he who, seeing the wolf come, does not flee, but is ready to risk his own life struggling with the beast of prey so that none of the sheep will be lost. If he were not ready to do so, he would not be worthy of the name of good shepherd. He would be the hireling, not a shepherd. This is Jesus' allegorical discourse. Its essential meaning lies precisely in this, that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And this, in the context of the events, he is writing during Holy Week. In the context of the events of Holy Week means that Jesus, dying on the cross, laid down his life for every human being, for all people. But he did it for you. You're not part of a mass of people. These are my words. You're not part of just a huge body of people. He died for you personally. He knows you. How grateful are you? He alone could do it, says Pope John Paul. He alone could bear a whole world's weight, the load of a guilty world, the burden of man's sin, the accumulated debt, past, present, and to come, the sufferings which we owed but could not pay. In his own body on the tree of the cross, through the eternal Spirit, offering himself without spot to God, to serve the living God, such was the deed of Christ, who gave his life for everyone, and therefore he is called the Good Shepherd. By means of the Paschal sacrifice, Pope John Paul concludes, all people became his fold, because he has ensured to each one that divine and supernatural life, which since man's fall, owing to original sin, had been lost. He alone was able to restore it to man. When you were born, you had the hope of eternal life because Jesus had gone before you. And still today, Jesus goes before us, and each of us that is born has the hope of eternal life. What have you done with the hope of eternal life? Have you fanned it, to use another image, have you fanned it into a flame? Or is it just a little tiny flickering flame that could go out at any moment? Is your faith strong or not? If it's not strong, just start saying to the Lord every day, Lord, increase my faith. Read his word every day. Go to the Eucharist as often as you possibly can. Adore the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and God will increase your faith. God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.